Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm joined today with David Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie, and we're going to be talking precious metals, precious metal stocks, and what's going on with the Fed this week. So let's start with the price of gold. Do you think after this recent rally that we've had off that triple test of the 1677 level that we finally have a bottom here, Dave?
Yeah, it's sure looking like it, Shad. A lot of signs are pointing to a bottom being in the gold price. Even though that 1750 level was broken over in Asia, where the opportunistic shorts had a really good opportunity to run the stops back down to that 1675 level, it shot right back up really quickly, and we never made a weekly close below that key 1750, 1760 level. So now the gold price is back above 1800. So it's looking really, really good for the gold price. And also, it's only been 2 days now, but the silver price has also begun to lead gold higher. And that was not the case over the past few weeks. You know, the gold-silver ratio was knocking on the door of 80 again. And that was a warning sign, telling us that, hey, we still got to be cautious here, because the silver price, as well as the miners and especially the juniors, were leading gold lower, and that's never a good sign. So it's only been, like I said, it's only been 2 days now, but the silver price has begun to lead again, and it's starting to look a lot better for the gold price.
Yeah, it's always good to see silver and the miners outperforming gold like they have the last 2 days. One question would be, on those weekly closes above 1760, do you think that's enough to start a trend that we finally break that overhead resistance around 1830, 1840? Or is there any other levels you're looking at that you'd like to see gold get through to really confirm the move?
Yeah, I'd like to see it close above 1850. But yeah, I mean, that daily double top in that 1830 area would be a good start. We've got a very important Jackson Hole meeting coming up here on Friday, where Jerome Powell now virtually is going to come out and give a speech and probably hint about what's going to go on here with monetary policy in the near future, and that's what everybody's waiting for now. And the market is starting to price in this Delta variant effects on the market, as well as the Afghanistan debacle. That is also keeping the gold price levitated here. Before the dollar rolled over yesterday pretty sharply, both gold and the U.S. dollar were getting some safe haven bids because of what was going on in Afghanistan.
Yeah, it's interesting that with the talk about the Delta variant possibly starting to lock businesses back down, and we're seeing that in New York, L.A., we're seeing it in Chicago, we're seeing it all over the world, we're seeing it in many European countries. It's interesting that the Fed decided to shift to a virtual conference at the same time they're telling the market, hey, we're going to be tapering and things are A-okay. So what do you make of that, Dave?
Exactly. I think that as they made that announcement Friday, and I think that had a lot to do with the gold price making that huge move on Monday. Because it wouldn't look very good if the Fed came out and said, you know what, we've decided to go virtual because of the effects of the Delta variant here. And by the way, we're going to go ahead and start tapering too, because we're not worried about the economy anymore. So I think that had a lot to do with the gold price pop, you know, and of course the dollar making that huge reversal. If you take a look at UUP, the dollar ETF there, you know, it's now got a daily island reversal on it. And that's the dollar is making a strong reversal from that 93.50, 94 area. There's more stronger resistance up at 95, but the gold price is really looking like it has bottomed here. That stop loss run that the shorts were able to finagle here over in Asia when there was a holiday in Singapore and a holiday in Hong Kong, and there was summer volume, they were able to run those stops, and buyers came in lickety split and took it right back up, and it hasn't even come close to coming back down there again. And the short to medium term fundamentals for gold are starting to look better.
Yeah, and even the dollar rolling over has supported the whole commodity complex. We've noticed oil back up again, copper back up again, most of the base metals up, the agricultural commodities and soft commodities have been pushing higher. So it's interesting to see the effects of the dollar when everything is supposed to be rosy in the economy. And so the question remains, like we discussed last week, to taper or not to taper. And a lot of people have already factored in that, yeah, they're definitely going to taper. The question is when. But my question is, What happens if they start looking at a slowdown in the economy and decide, you know what, maybe we're going to punt on this whole idea? What do you think would happen to the markets then?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the stock market's already starting to factor that in. It's back at all-time highs again. And as far as the gold price, this whole move since June, when gold failed to get above 1900 for the third time here, after peaking at 2100 back last August, it came up and tested that 1900 level a few times, and it gave up the ghost for the third time there last June. And it was kind of we discussed last week, it was kind of a three strikes and I'm out, especially for gold junior speculators. And they've just been selling for tax loss ever since. And so, you know, if you take a look at what's going on in the junior space right now, in relation to the gold price, if it indeed has bottomed, there's some incredible value down here in a lot of these cashed up quality juniors.
Yeah, it's amazing how hard the stocks really sold off, even when gold was just flatlining or just holding its own. The stocks were still under pressure, which were giving us that indication that gold was going to have that final washout. But now that we've had it, there's a lot of investors that are scratching their heads on the sidelines, not really sure what to do. Now, you had mentioned last week some key support levels you wanted to see hold in the HUI and the GDX, but now we've seen a little bump over the last couple days in the miners. Is this an area where you think it would be good to start poaching and bottom fishing some of these oversold names, or do you still want to see more proof in the pudding first?
Well, I've had a few of my stake bids filled over the past few weeks in stocks that I hold positions in that I wanted to add to. And I believe I mentioned last week that there was a key level on the HUI I was looking at, not wanting to see a weekly close below, and also on the GDXJ. And the reason why I say HUI instead of the GDX is because the GDX has held up much better because of the royalty streaming companies that are in that index. So the level I was looking at on the HUI was 250. Well, we indeed had a weekly close below 250 last week. And the level on the GDXJ was 41. And the same went for that level being closed below on a weekly closing basis. So I alerted my subscribers that, hey, if we see this, there's a chance that we could get some screaming bargains on a capitulation type ending to this year-long correction that we've had in the mining complex. So I put some optimum buy points on all the all the companies that I own and that I follow in my newsletter, and hoping that we would get those levels filled on a stink bid. Well, what happened on Monday was these levels were quickly moved back above on Monday, creating sort of a what could be, we've had some follow through here today on Tuesday, what could be a bear trap reversal. Because everybody was waiting, you know, like myself, was waiting for these levels to close below on a weekly basis. And this was the time to either, you know, give up the ghost as far as if you're in a tax loss situation, or prepare for screaming deals here. But I don't think it's going to happen now, because like I said, we've had these levels closed back above again. Sure, not on a weekly basis, but I think that might take place here after Friday. Let's see. If we have the 250 area in the HUI closed back above on a weekly basis and the GDXJ back above 41, then I think that there's a good chance that we've also seen the lows in the mining sector.
If you're an investor sitting on the sidelines then, and you're like, should I stay or should I go? Should I get in, should I get involved in this market again, only to have my hopes dashed if we see something come out of this Jackson Hole that punishes the markets again? Or are you of the mindset that once these things are in motion, it's best just to get involved because if there's a longer-term trend that's reversing here, sooner rather than later would be the better call?
Well, like I've been saying for the past few weeks, you know, I've been scaling in and a couple of new positions and some long-term holding positions. So, you know, the past few weeks was a great time to scale in. And I also warn, you know, don't go all in, just scale in, you know, buy the weakness. If you buy something, you know, take a half position in something, it goes down another 10%, buy a little more, of course, that's a dangerous way to do things, but if you're close to a significant bottom, which I believed we were the last few weeks, then that's the way to handle it. But, you know, because let's face it, Chad, we know how this sector works. You know, it's the pendulum swings from extreme greed to extreme fear. When it swings to extreme greed, you need to be trimming positions and taking some profits. And when it swings to extreme fear, and let's face it, the last few weeks, there's been extreme fear in this sector. That's the time to be scaling into positions. So I wouldn't say go all in here, no, but continue to scale in on weakness. Is the time to chase yet? Absolutely not. And I don't think you have to, because I haven't really seen things start to take off. But if you see some long-term downtrend lines broken with some volume, then absolutely, that's something to start scaling into. And of course, you know, do lots of due diligence on the company beforehand. You know, do your research. And, you know, if you don't have the time to do that, that's what a service like mine is for.
Absolutely. And I know that you like growth-oriented producers. You like development companies that have a path towards growth and exploration upside. And you had mentioned last week that you were shying away a little bit from some of the drill plays that were earlier stage, mm-hmm. with the exception being if they're cashed up through 2022 and have a longer ramp. But we normally see when there's a turn in the market, the producers get the bid first and then it moves down the food chain. Are you still looking at that kind of a thing to play out here? Or if there is a turn up in the metals, would you be more willing to jump into some of the exploration stocks now?
Well, that's the great thing about the turn, if it is indeed taking place here compared to the last turn, because the last turn was a V bottom. I don't see that happening now, because we didn't have like this sudden capitulation, get me out at any price move with an intraday reversal. That's what we had last March of 2020. So now you have time to scale into these things. And yes, that's generally what happens. You have the royalty streaming companies bottom first. And let's face it, they've held up the best during this correction. And that's why the GDX has possibly made a double bottom here at the 30 range. So it's the royalty streaming companies that get the bids first. Then and along with the majors, you know, your Newmonts and your Agnicos and your Barracks, and then the mid tiers, and then the developer explorers. You know, the companies that have already defined a deposit and they're de-risking it, and then the last subsector to move up are the drill plays, the companies that are still searching for a discovery, or they've recently made a discovery and they're still drilling.
Well, just one more question on this before we wrap up, and that is,
sure.
Sometimes there's the philosophy that during times of weakness, for the exact reasons you just went over, that the royalty companies are a good place to hide out and put some capital, because
right.
they're not going to pull back as much. Same with the largest producers.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the turn comes, a lot of investors say, hey, I put that in there kind of like an ATM machine. It's there to draw from when I see opportunistic setups in the smaller plays.
Right.
Are you a fan of that kind of thinking of, I'm going to start pulling money out of some of the royalties and the bigger producers and start looking for those juniors that have been sold off by 30, 40, 50% or more? Is that your strategy too?
That's a great question, Chad. And that was my strategy during the bottom of March 2020. When I started to get into things, because you know you really didn't have a lot of time, you had to have your list ready, what you're going to get into, and get into it, because these things went up just as quickly as they went down. So I did have, I think it was 3 or 4 royalty companies that I got into, and then as soon as the initial move kind of peaked, I rotated the money out of those companies, took my profit, and sold the entire position, and rotated that capital into developer explorers that really hadn't moved quite as much yet, and some earlier stage companies.
We'll keep tabs on how things develop. All eyes and ears on Jackson Hole this Friday with Jerome Powell. We'll see what they say about tapering, although some people believe it'll just be his acceptance speech for another term, and we may have to wait till the September Fed meeting to find out what their actual policy is going to be. But we'll keep tabs on it, and we appreciate you spending time with us here at the KE Report. And if folks like David's analysis and want to know more about the stocks he's looking at, definitely check out juniorminerjunkie.com and subscribe to Dave's newsletter. He has a wealth of information he shares, as well as real-time trades and what he's looking at and price levels on the companies that he thinks would be attractive buys. So we appreciate you coming on the show, Dave, and have a great rest of the week.
Always a pleasure, Chad. Thanks. You too.